Iceland forever, dear alma mater, long may she ever firm take her stand. Her sons and daughters carry to others her fame throughout the land.
Rah, 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 Graceland, Graceland, we're all for you. Strong, united, loyal, and true. We'll carry on till victory is won. Oh, Graceland, we're all for you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Project Zion. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts the Restoration offers for today's world. Project Zion is sponsored by the Latter-day Seekers team from Community of Christ.
Carla Long, and I'm here with Emily Rose and Blake Smith, and we are going to talk about something that is near and dear to all of our hearts. What are we going to talk about today?
Graceland
University. We love going to Graceland University, and we love being there. So, first question is an easy question. What was your major at Graceland? When were you there?
So, I went to Graceland from 2008 to 2012. And I had several majors while I was there. I think I started out in history and then maybe switched to psychology before I landed to English and religion. So I was a double major. And was there any other question?
Nope, you got it.
All right, I did it.
What about you, Blake?
I went to Graceland 2012 to 2016. And I went in as a psychology major and added business while I was there.
Oh, cool. So psychology and business.
Yes.
Oh, wow. And I am really old in this group. I started Graceland in 1995 and I graduated in 1999, which was the last year it was Graceland College. Very exciting. And I went in I wanted to be a doctor. And then I realized that blood was really gross and it made me want to throw up when I saw it. So I switched over to be a math major. And I got also a minor in secondary education so I could be a high school math teacher, which was super fun for 3 years. It was really fun for 3 years. So why did you choose to go to Graceland? What was the draw for you?
Gosh, it's hard to kind of pinpoint down what was the biggest draw. I had grown up hearing stories from my parents about Graceland. And so it was just sort of part of our family culture to like listen to fun stories that mom and dad talked about with Graceland. I actually chose Graceland when I was in fifth grade. This is really nerdy.
Fifth grade.
I know. In fifth grade, I printed out an application to Graceland. And my reasoning was I was going to be in middle school. And after that was high school. So I was just going to print it off and put it on my bookshelf for when it was time.
Just to be ultra prepared. Because, you know, I think a lot of 11-year-olds are pretty concerned about where they're going to be going to university.
I think this podcast is going to have lots of nerdy moments from Emily, so we should just prepare ourselves.
And that's what we should call this podcast, Nerdy Moments from Emily. Blake, do you have any nerdy moments to share?
No, not too many, I guess. I chose Graceland a lot later. I chose Graceland about a month and a half before I was supposed to move in. And I chose it because I went to Spectacular. And while I was at Spectacular, I just kind of got this feeling that I needed to be at Graceland. Graceland was kind of the place, where I could be myself and get a good education and meet a lot of cool people.
Now, you mentioned Spectacular.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit more about that, please.
Spectacular is a camp put on by Community of Christ at Graceland University. And it started out as Sports Spectacular, but a lot has been added to it. I know, Emily, you taught the worship class.
And right.
There's they bring in a lot of speakers, and it's for high school age kids. And it's really fun, yeah. So
it's spectacular.
It is spectacular.
I chose to go to Graceland, I think it was April before I was going to go that in next August, I had been accepted to a couple of universities to be, you know, a doctor. And I remember getting in the mail this really beautiful purple, sparkly acceptance letter from this college somewhere. I think it was in Wichita. And I was so excited about the purple sparkly that I was really going to go there because that really impressed me. And I remember, you know, just thinking about, is that really what I want to do? Is that really where I want to go? Because Graceland was never really part of my family's heritage at all. My older sister had gone there and that was it. And I woke up, I remember waking up from a nap one day and with the absolute certainty that it was Graceland that I needed to go to. I'd always had a fantastic time. It's spectacular. And it was almost as if the other college, the sparkly purple college, had gone away and Graceland was going to be where I needed to be. And it was a fantastic choice on my part. What made Graceland great for me is that it was a very, it was a small university, which I needed because I came from a town of 600 people. So anything, a big university probably would have overwhelmed me so much. It would have been very difficult. So it was a really good choice. I think my parents were thrilled. So let's talk a little bit more about Graceland. Like, where is it? Tell me a little bit about the town that it's in, all that stuff.
Graceland's in Lamoni, Iowa. It's in Decatur County. And Lamoni actually has a population of around 2,300. But half of that is the college. But there's a lot of cool things to do in Lamoni. A lot of local restaurants that are really good to eat at. But also, I think my favorite thing is the nature that comes with Lamoni. And there's a bike trail that kind of goes through all throughout town. And there's a couple of parks nearby that you can go to. I know I grew up in loving to fish, and that was kind of my thing. And at Graceland, I found some good fishing spots and stuff. And it's a really tight-knit community. I know that it's very hard to go to Graceland and not get involved in the Lamoni community because Graceland and Lamoni partner so much on so many different things. And it really is a cool place to be. I know that when I first decided to go to Graceland and was telling my friends, it was in Lamoni, Iowa. I came from Nashville, Tennessee, so very big city. And they were like, where is that? Why are you going there? And what are you going to do while you're there? And I was just like, you know what? I don't know, but I'll figure it out on the way. And to be honest, I really enjoyed the small town life. And getting to see your professors outside of the classroom is a really big deal for me. I know coming from Nashville, I can't go home all the time for like Easter or even Thanksgiving. And so a few professors would invite me over, you know, anytime to hang out on breaks. And that was really cool to be a part of.
That is awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would just add, one of my favorite things in Lamoni, just the surrounding town, was that there were Amish farms that actually kind of surround the town of Lamoni. And on Saturday mornings, sometimes we would go to what is now Triple B Farms, or if it's still Triple B Farms. It's been a while since I was a student. But we could go, and they had a bakery, a blacksmith, and maybe the third B was a butcher. Or no, bulk food store. So those were the Triple B's. And you could go and get fresh made pastries, and you could get like a dozen like free range organically grown or fed chickens that were producing eggs. And they would actually like bring them out in their aprons and like wipe them off for you and like put them in a little thing. And you could get a dozen eggs for like $1.50. And it was amazing.
It was so quaint.
Yes. It was magical. There's something magical about it.
Yeah, Amish donuts are killer.
Oh my gosh. The pumpkin ones in the fall. Yeah. They're amazing.
You just got to be really careful when you're passing their horse and buggies right. on the highway.
Right.
Really careful. That could get treacherous.
Yes.
If you're not careful. Yeah. I love the small town life in Lamoni. I remember Lamoni was a bigger town than where I grew up. So okay. I remember being super excited there was a Pizza Hut. I had never grown up in a place with an actual restaurant. So that was exciting for me. So we mentioned this a little bit, but what about the history of Graceland? Why did they choose Lamoni? Why did they choose that area? Do we know anything about the history of Graceland at all?
Well, it was founded in 1895, and I believe that the headquarters of the church was in Lamoni for a while. And Joseph Smith III and Joseph Smith Jr. were all all about education and furthering that education. And so, when they got the land grant from Marietta Walker, they decided to, build a school there, a college at the time, I guess.
And I remember the first graduate of Graceland University was Frederick Madison Smith, was Joseph Smith III's son. And Marietta Walker owned, like, as you said, owned a lot of the land, and she has one of the major buildings named after her. Mm-hmm. She was an amazing woman.
One of the women's halls was named after her.
Do we know anything else about the history of the university or history of Graceland?
It started out as a 2-year college, and then its oldest programs, one of the oldest programs is the education program. Okay. So.
Oh, yeah. Graceland is well known in the Kansas City area, at least, as producing really great teachers. Mm-hmm. If you go to the Kansas City area and apply for a job and they say you went to Graceland, you almost always get the job. It's well known as a great teacher college.
Amazing.
So let's talk a little bit about the social aspects of Graceland. As you said, how many students are on campus?
It's about 1,100.
Around 1,100 students. And so tell me a little bit about the activities that go on there. What kind of activities do they get to do there?
Well, one of my favorite organizations on campus is called COSA, or that's the abbreviation. It stands for Campus Organization for Social Activities. And they plan a lot of the events that happen on campus. So like I said earlier, my friends were like, what are you going to do there? Well, we don't really have to go anywhere because COSA brings acts in to entertain us. And so we've had magicians and hypnotists come and live bands come, but also just planning some organic, what we call homegrown events. One of the biggest, I think, would be New Year's in November. Mm-hmm. And so a couple of students or a group of students got together and was like, it kind of is bad that we can't spend New Year's together. And so they're like, well, why don't we have a big celebration of New Year's in November? And so it's gotten bigger every year. And we do the countdown and everything. And then we have pancakes in the commons afterwards. And it's a really fun dance to go to.
Can I tell you about my favorite event of like the whole year? So there is during finals in your fall semester, we have an event called Caroling and Cakes, and literally the professors all get together and they travel around campus at night to sing Christmas carols to us while we're studying for our finals. And they come to our dorms and sing Christmas carols. And then afterwards at, I think maybe even past midnight, the professors are the ones that make pancakes in the dining hall and invite us all into the dining hall and make us pancakes while we're studying for our finals. And it makes me weepy every time. I just think it's the sweetest thing. I don't think there's anywhere else that something like that would happen. There's just such dedication by everyone involved. And it just made us feel really special. And like our professors were rooting for us, which is a really good feeling.
For me, I think one of my favorite activities was Final Fling, which is it the weekend before finals in your spring semester, right? Yep. And they just have this huge outdoor party with like,
it's amazing.
It is amazing. They have like carnival food and they have like carnival, not rides, but like the blow up, things where you like stick to the wall. I don't really know how to describe it. And you just go and just have so much fun because you have just been studying your brains out and you just need to have a good time. And so like, it's just fun. Everybody gets together. There's no animosity. There's no competition. You just have a great time and you just relax a little bit before the craziness of finals.
This giant turkey legs.
Oh, who doesn't love that? speaking of social activities, I think the Graceland house system is something that's a little bit unique that people might not be used to. In other colleges and universities, we have sororities and fraternities, but that's not true at Graceland, right?
Nope.
What do we have at Graceland?
We have a housing system, and so in a normal fraternity and sorority system, you have to pledge to whatever group you're joining, and I think you have to pay dues, if I'm correct about that. So you not only have to be accepted into a certain group and work hard to do that, you have to like pay money to be a part of that. So the underlying premise of the housing system at Graceland is that you belong just because you're there. Just by being there, you belong. And so, in the residence halls, there are different houses, and based on where you live in that residence hall is your house. And when you come in, there is an automatic group of people who are thrilled that you're there and do everything they can to make you welcome and get you plugged into the Graceland experience and just the really transformative things that happen when you get to go to Graceland. And so I was on Shalom. And it was an amazing, amazing house to be on. And some of my lifelong friends are the ones that I met there. And so it shifts the culture from one where you have to work to be included to one where you're automatically included just by being there. And I think that's pretty radical.
Yeah, I would agree. I've made some great friends. I was on Orion. And you really do get that acceptance right away. You know, there's one of the first things you do when you move in is your house moves you in.
Yeah.
They have a house council and a house president, and they come and they literally take your stuff out of the car and take it up to your room. And I remember when I found out I was on the fourth floor, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be ridiculous. But then I watched some of my really good friends carry up my stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't carry up one thing. And,
yep.
And then after that, we all went to the dining hall and ate together at the same table. And that was a really powerful experience. And even later on in my freshman year, a guy that I met, you know, he was a junior at the time, proposed to his girlfriend and asked me to be a part of that proposal. And that's kind of how quickly you can get to know somebody within the housing system.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, I was in Soraya House, and I remember, when I was the head of Soraya House, I was the house president. We would show up like a week earlier than the freshmen. And I remember sitting with the women who were going to welcome these new freshmen. And I remember thinking, how can we make them feel as welcome as possible? These poor people are going to be terrified. They're going to be leaving their families for the first time. How can we help them feel as necessary and needed and wanted as possible? And so that's what we did. And that's what happens there. We want it to make it an easy transition. So there's actually a lot of activities for incoming freshmen. We're like, say goodbye to your mom and dad. Now let's have so much fun.
So much fun. Like 14 days of welcome week. It's intense.
It's very intense and very fun.
Yes.
So I think people on the podcast might be interested in some of the social rules, like boys and girl rules at Graceland, mm-hmm. and the alcohol policy, things like that. Mm-hmm. You guys want to talk about that?
So I am not 100% sure if they're the same as when I was there, but when I was there, we had rules in terms of like who can stay over at your dorm. So like there were quiet hours and there were visitation hours. So like if, you know, I met my husband Daniel at Grayson. So like if Daniel wanted to come and visit me, he had to check in at a little place and they took his ID. And then if he was late getting out, which I think on the weekends, it's like 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then on weeknights, it's like midnight. But if he was late getting out, then he pays a fine or something like that. So no overnight guests of opposite sex. Is that the same way?
Yeah.
It stayed the same.
Yeah.
Yep. I remember when my parents were there, they had a shoe in the door policy.
Yeah.
Where you couldn't shut the door if you had a guest that was of the opposite sex in your room. You had to leave a shoe's width. And so my dad tells this story about how they would like rig the door so that you couldn't close it as far as a shoe, but you also couldn't open it any further. So
Graceland University students are very clever.
They are crafty.
Very clever. What about the alcohol policy?
Well, it's a dry campus, so there's no alcohol allowed on campus. Even they have some apartments owned by the university, and there's no alcohol in there either.
Right. But there are people that live off campus, and so the rules don't extend to the people that live off campus. So I don't know why that's important. I'm just telling you.
So we were talking a little bit more, a little earlier about freshmen who are coming in. What are the requirements to get into Graceland? Are there any requirements? Do you have to do anything special in order to get in?
I think there's GPA requirements.
Yeah.
Right?
So the three requirements. You have to have two of these three requirements, and you have to have a GPA of, I believe it's a 3.0 or better. It may be a 2.7 or a little less, but you have to have a 21 on your ACT, or you have to be within the top 50% of your class. And again, you just have to meet two out of the three of those mm-hmm. requirements to get in. So a lot of people maybe only meet two of those, but then they still get accepted.
And what's the ACT score lately for qualifying for academic scholarships? I know when I went, it was a 28, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think now you can get scholarship money right at that 21 level. Okay. They've set it up now for a lot of kind of need base. Again, if you have a higher ACT and a higher GPA, then you're going to get more money. But it's a grid. If you are interested in Graceland and send off for some information, they'll send you a financial packet, and it is a grid. So if you say, okay, I got a 28 on the ACT and I have a 3.2 GPA, and then you kind of match up, and then it tells you how much money you should be able to get.
So. Oh, that's great.
Are there any like religious requirements or anything like that to get into the university?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Although we love when Community of Christ folks come to Graceland.
Yes.
But is it only Community of Christ people who go to Graceland?
Oh, no. Actually, right now, the percentage of Community of Christ students is around 30% of the campus. So around 30% of our Lamoni campus is associates themselves with Community of Christ.
I want to get back to that in a second, but you said the Lamoni campus. Does Graceland have more than one campus?
Yeah, they have an Independence campus in Independence, Missouri. And primarily that's the nursing school, the campus for the nursing school. There are also a lot of educations and classes out of there. And a lot of the master's programs are run out of the Independence.
Right. The Masters of Religion, the seminary program is out of Independence, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking a little bit about requirements at Graceland. So what if a student comes in and is Community of Christ and has grown up Community of Christ, and sometime at Graceland has a faith transition out of Community of Christ? Does anything happen to them? Does anything change for them according to Graceland, with Graceland?
Not in terms of with the school. Nothing would happen. I think that is definitely something that has happened before for, you know, people. When I first went to Graceland, I had people in my home congregation in Alabama tell me, you know, watch out for these professors because you'll lose your faith. And so Graceland really challenges people's faith. And I would say that they give them the tools to live with those questions and even reweave something back together. But if you end up transitioning to some other faith at Graceland, nothing happens to you academically.
Yeah, I agree with everything Emily said. I think the professors and also the campus ministries program does a great job of helping your faith journey, wherever that might be. And I've had three campus ministers since in my time at Graceland, and each and every one of them, I think if I came to them and was like, I really don't know if I want to be a part of the Community of Christ Church anymore, they would be sad, of course, that happened, but they wouldn't judge me. They wouldn't say anything about it. I think that they would be more concerned about my well-being and want to talk about, you know, why, you know, this is happening and figure it out and then find the best place for me, whether that's to remain in the church, whether that's to transition into another church or whatever the case may be. In fact, at Graceland, they had a program called the Community of Christ Leadership Program. And while I was there, I don't know if they had it when you guys were there or if this happened when you guys were there, but we had several students that were not Community of Christ members but still participated in that program.
Interesting.
Yeah, because they really liked the idea of being a leader within their personal church. And so they joined the program expecting to kind of gain some knowledge on how to lead in the church.
Yeah,
that's excellent.
Because that program, you end up with a minor in church leadership. And
right.
So that's generic enough that I think it would help anybody who wants to be a leader in a different faith. So,
Well, you just mentioned something that I wanted to get back to, and I promised our listeners we'd get back to, is the Campus Ministries program. It's a pretty big program on campus. Mm-hmm. And so tell us a little bit more about that. What happens in the Campus Ministries program?
Well, I think Blake would know more about what it looks like now, because I think that it has expanded quite a bit since I was at Graceland. But I was on Campus Ministries at Graceland for 3 out of my 4 years, and I served as the Peace and Justice Coordinator on the Campus Ministries team for 2 years, which meant I helped plan events and activities for the campus that got people thinking about peace and justice. We had like a talent night for Haiti when there was an earthquake there, and we did other things to try and respond to justice issues around campus and around the world, and that was just a really wonderful time. And then my third year, I was the Sunday morning worship coordinator. So on Sundays, we have 2 different worship services available. There's the one in the morning that feels more like a traditional Community of Christ service, and then Blake can tell you about the one in the evenings because he was our Afterglow coordinator for at least a year, maybe more.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was the coordinator for a year. I played in the band for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So Afterglow is a more laid-back service. It kind of focuses more on music. It has a lot of student speakers that come. And, you know, when I was the coordinator, I tried to ask students that had never spoke before just to give them the opportunity and the chance to share whatever was on their mind. But there's a full band and, you know, mood lighting. You know, it's really an awesome experience. And a lot of people that I met while I was the coordinator, they didn't go to church, but they went to Afterglow because they liked that style of worship best. But I was involved in the Campus Ministries program for, I was on the team for 2 years, and I was the Afterglow coordinator 1 year and the worship support person the next year. And I took care of all the kind of technology and AV equipment. That's my nerd moment, I guess. I also supported the team in the best way I could. So I did a lot of devotions at our team meetings. And I don't know how many people were on the team when you were involved, Emily, but at one point, I think there was around 13 people on the team.
That's definitely bigger than what we had.
Yeah.
Because we had a Sunday morning and a Peace and Justice and Afterglow and like a chaplain rep and like maybe a couple of others, but nothing quite that big.
Yeah. And that's the cool thing is in my time there, I got to see them add new positions based on students that were interested in serving on the team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they had these positions set, like a peace and justice coordinator or whatever the case might be. But if somebody interviewed and really wanted to be a part of the team and they thought the campus ministers thought they would be a good fit, they tried to make a position kind of for them and help them in whatever ministry that they were really passionate about.
Yeah. Another thing I'll say about the campus ministries program at Graceland is that it kind of lives in this tension. It's a good tension between inviting Community of Christ students to become leaders and gain some ministerial practice, as well as respond to the needs of the campus that don't necessarily participate in Community of Christ and invite them to be included too. I'll never forget when I was a freshman, Dave Hines was our campus minister, and at one of the events in our freshman move-in week where it was just like packed with events, he spoke to the class, or not the class, but I guess the incoming class, and said, you know, I'm your campus minister. I'm here for you. And there's one thing I want you to know. I'm not after you. And basically what he was saying is that this isn't about me trying to make sure that you do your faith life a certain way. Mm-hmm. I'm here to support you and I'm not after you to convert you. Yeah. And I just thought that was a really powerful, gentle thing for him to say, to be so present to us and respond to the diversity that we had.
I think, too, a big factor in all this is Graceland doesn't require you to, as a student, to go to any services or anything that the campus ministries team puts on. So when you see, when you put on an event as a student minister, I know when I did Afterglow, services, the biggest service I held had like 100 and something people there, and they were all there because they wanted to be there. Nothing was requiring them to be there. They simply wanted to be there. So that was cool to, you know, have friends come and support you, even though they didn't have to. And people that you didn't even know come just because they were interested or genuinely trying to expand their faith through your service and events.
Yeah, that's really cool. So I just want to mention a few things before we move on to more of the educational aspects of Graceland. But we've talked a little bit about the house system. Mm-hmm. There's women's houses and there's men's houses. Mm-hmm. And in every house, there's a house president. Mm-hmm. There's also a few other members of what we call the house council. And one of the representatives is what we've been talking about, the campus ministry representative. And these are elected positions from your house, correct? Mm-hmm. And there's also an intramurals representative. And what does the intramurals representative do? What happens in intramurals?
Sports.
Yes. And these are not college sports. These are, you know, just regular old people playing
Sometimes we play Quidditch. I played at Quidditch. That's all.
Sometimes we play Quidditch. And like softball and basketball and volleyball and things like that. So there's also a Senate, correct? And what happens with the Senate?
The Senate is kind of your voice to the administration and your voice of change to a certain extent. I know two events that I talk about a lot when I talk about Senate when I'm recruiting is, one, we had an individual on my house who was allergic to soy, and the commons, the food providers, Sodexo, used a lot of soy in the things that they made and even soy oil to fry things in. And so he couldn't eat anything, you know, he would get sick, you know. And so he went to our senator and was like, can we at least mark what has soy in it, or it's been cooked with soy? And so, you know, within the next week, I believe they started marking it and they started cutting back on how much soy they used because he voiced that opinion. The other one was the Senate gets a lot of money to appropriate to different things. And something that I found really cool, just because it's frustrating when you're trying to fill up a water bottle at a water fountain, but they put in these machines on top of the water fountains. That's a water bottle filler. And so if the water fountain mysteriously broke around campus, they would replace it and put one of those on top. And so that was
mysteriously broke.
The one on my floor, when they told us that, it happened to break the next day.
Sometimes things aren't so mysterious.
So in the Senate, things really happen. Like they talk to administrators and things really change.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Very cool. Were there any other members of House Council that I forgot?
The Academic Student Council rep.
Right. And they help with like academic stuff, right?
Right.
They're the person to go to if you have questions about academia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're having trouble in a class and you're like, I really would like a tutor for this class, they won't tutor you, but they'll pass that along and get a tutor for the class to set up a time and let you know when to add and drop classes without it affecting your
Sometimes
transcript.
Sometimes they even have access to old tests that they can let you study off of, which is very exciting.
Yes.
Nerdy moments with Emily.
Very helpful. So let's talk a little bit more about those educational aspects. Like, I know that Emily and I were in the honors program. Can you talk a little bit about the honors program?
The honors program is so fun. More nerdy moments. So at Graceland, there is an honors program. And to be in it, you need a 3.5 GPA and to maintain that GPA. But some of the benefits are that in the fall, you get to go on a free trip to Chicago with the rest of the honors group. And you get to go to plays at the Shakespeare Theater and see all kinds of cool architecture and just have a really good time. There is work also with the honors program. So you have to choose a class each semester that you're going to take for honors credit, and you do something with that class to make it worth more to you. So you write a longer paper, or you come up with something really creative with the professor. I know that my cousin Brittany Longsdorf, in her psychology class, she did developmental psychology, and the way she made it an honors credit was she did paintings of each of the different life stages and then wrote a paper about it. So it really, the coolest thing about the honors program is that it allows you to be really creative, and make it what you want it to be. And the other, two requirements, your junior and your senior year, you do an honors presentation. And it's, I think, 3 hours that you get to present on anything, though. Anything that's worth academic investigation, you can present on. So my junior year, I talked about gender and conflict and language style. So like how men and women approach conflict differently based on their language. And that was wonderful and super fun. And then my senior year, I did a presentation on consumerism and the environment. And so it was just, it was something outside of my major that I was allowed to just dig deep into. And it made grad school all the easier because I was used to doing in-depth research on a topic. And so it was great for preparation for later study.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the honors program too, only for just the reasons Emily just said. Just you get to go so much deeper into something. And oh gosh, nerdy moment with Carla. My senior honors presentation was on the history of math. And it was so good. It was so exciting. I'm not even kidding. Like, I had like 60 people at my presentation and we were in. I mean, I talked about Archimedes and how he shined all the shields and he made them stand in a parabola and he set a boat on fire, like way out in the water because the focus of the boat or the parabola was on the boat. It was amazing.
That is amazing. Oh. I don't even like math and that's really cool.
I know, you guys.
You should devote a whole podcast.
Just the history of math.
I would do it. And I learned all about this awesome math book called the Lilavati. Oh my gosh, you should look it up because the reason it was named the Lilavati, this amazing mathematician named it after his daughter. It was a whole wedding day fiasco. I'm not even going to give you the answer to this because I want you to look it up yourself. It was awesome. It has to do with a pearl and dropping into a water clock. I'm not even kidding. All of that is true. So, I really enjoyed the history. It was a 50-page paper on the history of math. Yes. Anytime anybody wants to read it, I'll hand it over. So, you know, just to wind it down a little bit, let's talk for our last little bit about the benefits of a liberal arts education. Graceland is a liberal arts school. And so what would the benefit be to go to Graceland versus, say, a state school that everyone has heard of?
Yeah. I think one of the biggest benefits is they don't require you to take specific courses, but they require you to take courses of a certain kind, you know, a couple courses from each kind. So like you have to take at least 2 humanities courses. You have to take at least 2 math courses, no matter what your major is. So I would stay the furthest away from math. I'm sorry, Carla, than I could, but I still had to take 2 math courses while in my time at Graceland. I think I ended up taking 3, but
well done.
So you get a lot of experience in all different areas and you are able to approach an issue or a problem or a situation with all this background from different sources. So you don't just consider it from your point of view. It kind of broadens your horizons. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of what employers are looking for now. I'm recruiting for Graceland right now. And so we go through all these presentations and listen to all this information being presented to us and do, I did some of my own research just because it interests me so much in the trends of what employers want. And they really want adaptability and critical thinking. Those are two of the top skills that they look for. And at a liberal arts institution, that's what you get. In fact, our freshman level course that everyone has to take is called critical thinking, now. And it really helps you when you get out into the job world and you can say, you know, I have experience with all of this different, you know, subject matter. I know that when I was interviewing for a job recently, they were like, tell me something that you did outside of your majors that, really passionate about. And I was able to talk about, it happened to be a religion course, but ministries of the church, because it really interested me, to do all that. And I wasn't required to take it, but it was on a list of courses that I could take. And so I decided to take it.
Yeah. I would just add that, a liberal arts education, I think, looks at the whole person, and approaches education holistically. So you are transformed in your experience, not just by taking the specific classes that have to do with your major, but there are classes that shape you as a person. And critical thinking is one of them. I am a big fan of the humanities classes because that's where I spent all my time. But I really do think that it shaped me as a person. And I love that there's that care there about who our graduates are.
Definitely. One thing I really love about Graceland is that you can always play 6 degrees away from Graceland. And, you know, there's actually been times when I've been stranded in a city, like Chicago, for instance, and I didn't have a place to go. And I was poor and I didn't, you know, the plane wasn't taking off for many, many hours. I just got on the phone. I called a Graceland friend, maybe just an acquaintance. And I'm like, come get me and take me somewhere. And they would, because it was that connection through Graceland and through the church as well. But through Graceland that, you know, you're connected. They want to help you. They want to be there for you. And it was, and that's always been a really comforting thing for me that almost anywhere I go, I can find someone who knows Graceland or went to Graceland. If I'm wearing a Graceland shirt, almost always someone stops when I'm out shopping, like Graceland University. I'm like, you know, Graceland University. Fantastic. So it's really that tight knit community that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. I think in just basic college experience, those years are really formative and you discover who you are. So Graceland is just this really special place where I wouldn't have wanted to discover who I am any other place. The community just really grounded me and the professors were just so incredibly supportive and they just continue to support me now. And the friends that I made continue to be my dearest friends now. And so it just, the community shapes you in a way that is really profound.
For me, I think the biggest thing that I got from Graceland was opportunity. Because it's a smaller school, you're able to get involved in a lot. You're able to develop your leadership skills and you can get your feet wet in almost anything. I think my freshman year I was involved in CCLP. I played basketball for Graceland. I played in the jazz band and the symphonic band. I was in Outreach International Club. I was in Enactus. And I did everything with the hall. You know, and it was a busy year. But I think I'm still catching up on sleep from it.
Yeah,
but,
no kidding.
But it gave me the opportunity to then figure out what I really like to do. So my sophomore year, I kind of try to focus on the things I liked and I stopped doing, you know, a couple of different things. And then by junior and senior year, I'm really leading the things that I'm passionate about. And so it really gave me the opportunity to become a leader, to develop those skills and to find out what I am passionate about. Cause when people would ask me what I was passionate about before I went to Graceland or before certain experiences at Graceland, I would just say, I don't know, you know. I just didn't know, but now I can answer that question and have support of why I'm passionate about that and tell stories of things that I've done to kind of live out that passion.
Oh, very cool. All right. So let's hear them. What are some fun and crazy stories about what you all did at Graceland?
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure our listeners are very excited
to
know.
Super excited.
Let's start with Nerdy Emily first.
Oh, so the problem with starting with Nerdy Emily is that I was nerdy and I was too afraid to do a lot of the things that the other people on the house did. So much of this is basically telling the crazy things that my housemates did. So this is tradition in many houses to climb on the top of the gym and like sign your name at the top. And it's very icy. And this, how can you even describe the shape of the gym? It's like a covered wagon.
A covered wagon.
It's like a tipped over ice cream cone. There's like these three giant points and it's, you just have to look it up. Podcast listeners, just look it up. And so my friends would go in the wintertime when there's like ice on the top of the gym and they would like sled down the gym. And something you need to realize about this building is that there are three, it's one of three like it in the world. And I'm pretty sure it's the only one that's still standing.
I'm pretty sure of that as well.
And so the reason I never went was because I was afraid I was going to be the one that like it would no longer be standing afterwards.
That would probably happen. Yes.
It was totally going to be me. So that's my adventure of other people's stories.
Boy, you were crazy.
I was crazy. I knew so many crazy people. I could come up with other stories. Other people go, and then it'll probably trigger some of mine.
One that I've told recently that I feel like is safe to tell now. But
yeah, you're on Graceland's dime right now.
Yeah. Some of my stories I feel like I won't tell for many years. but one of my favorite was my freshman year. Graceland used to have a winter term. And during that winter term, COSA threw an event in our student center. They showed a movie and they brought mattresses that you could bring blankets and kind of lay on the mattresses and enjoy the movie. But my friends afterwards wanted to mattress surf.
Sure.
And so one of my smaller friends, she hid in the main room, and they locked it, shut off all the lights, and then she let us in. And so we're sliding on these mattresses and we're just having a good time. And my friend, went to go slide on a mattress and he misjudged the distance. So he overshot.
Oh, ouch.
And he hit his chin and cut it open. And I think the blood stained the floor.
Oh my gosh.
That's how. And so we took him to get stitches and it was a good time.
Gross.
Yeah. We were freshmen at the time. So we were scared we were going to get in trouble. And so the story was our friend Natalie, that hid and let us in, pushed Steven, and that's how it, on the ice, and cut his chin. So.
Yikes. Yikes.
Oh, gosh.
All right, Carla, your turn.
Oh, no. So these are a little bit lame as well, but...
We were the lame studiers.
I was a math major. I'm not supposed to be fun. So we for some reason, a girl in my house had this huge banner that said free checking on it. I don't know if she stole it from a bank or something, but it was really made of really slick material. So we would line the hallway with mattresses and we put this big banner on the top and we called it the Soraya slide, and we would run and jump and slide on that thing for hours, 4 hours. We just had so much fun with it. We would do all these kinds of tricks on it and like aerial cartwheels and backflips, and we had a blast. Probably one of the worst things I did was, I think it was my senior year. We were close to the end of the school year and we, you know, found a way to get into the pool.
Sure. Like you do.
Like you do. And, you know, the lock was very poorly done. What are we supposed to do? Not go in? And so there was boys and girls. And so, like, you know, I think I had just finished jumping off the lifeguard stand yelling, "I'm the king of the world," when a big flashlight came by. The pool has this huge windows.
Yeah, giant.
And the security guard came by shining the light in the windows. And, like, we all went under the water. And I can't hold my breath for more than, you know, 20 seconds. So, of course, I popped back up. And then all of a sudden, we saw him running around. So we knew we had it. So we grabbed our stuff and he came and he got us and he's like, "What's your name? What's your name?" And I really, really wanted to say my name was something completely different, but I didn't. I'm like, "I'm Carla Long." And he's like, "Carla Long, you're going to go see the dean tomorrow." I'm like, "Oh my gosh." So I got the people who were in the group with me. I got them. I'm like, "We need to be at Tom's office." Tom Powell was the dean at the time. Yeah. And like, we got there at 7:55. We knew he arrived at 8. And so I'm like, "Let me be the speaker. I'll talk to Tom for us." So we went in. I'm like, "Tom, we have something to tell you." And at that point, some students had done some not so great things that were, they were in deep, deep trouble for, and they didn't know who those students were. And Tom thought that we were confessing to the other bad things. So he looked at me. He's like, "Carla, what are you going to tell me?" And I said, "Tom, we broke into the pool last night." He's like, "Oh, for heaven's sake, get out of my office."
Hello, when
so
that happens.
I was like, "Oh, thank goodness you're not going to, you're still going to let me graduate." And so yeah. That wasn't even a really bad thing, but that was worst thing I did.
I know. Oh, yep. I never even stole a golf cart. If my husband Daniel were here, he could tell way more fun stories than me. Let me just say that, like, the last week of his senior year, he stayed out with his mischievous and totally legal, but mischievous friends until, like, 4 in the morning every night. So if he were here, he could tell way better stories than me.
I think just some of my best memories are pranking people on the hall.
Oh, no.
Several times we duct taped. The doors open in, so we duct tape open the door so you know you can't get out. stuff like that. Get somebody's code because the rooms have a keypad code, and move around their stuff. Move somebody out of one room into another room, but put everything exactly how they had it.
Oh gosh. In that room.
One of my friends, we took out all of his clothes. Just every single article of clothing that he had.
Oh.
Good times.
Yeah. Yeah, super fun.
Well, there
long
is.
Long-lasting relationship.
Yes. Yes.
There is a movie theater in Lamoni, and it's owned by Graceland, and it's called the Coliseum. And when I was at Graceland, it was extra, extra scary, only because there were bats in it.
Oh, the bats are still there.
Right. And so, you know, when there would be a scary movie playing, every once in a while, there'd be a bat, like, yep, flying, and you're just like, oh, my gosh!
Yeah.
The bats, yep, are real! And so, yeah, you know, you feel something, like, fly by your hair. And it just made, it just gave you that extra little bit.
Just a little something, something.
Yeah. Yeah, the scary movies were extra scary at the Coliseum.
Oh, man.
Well, Blake and Emily, thanks for coming by and talking to us about Graceland.
Anytime.
Yeah, I'm sure if our listeners have questions, we'd be happy to answer them. Or yes, if we got any information wrong on this podcast.
Sorry, Graceland.
Sorry, Graceland. Sorry, listeners.
It's going to make me look really bad.
No.
Let's just blame Blake.
No.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. And thank you so much for being with us, Emily and Blake.
Yeah.
Awesome job.
Yay.
The views expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official views of the Latter-day Seekers team or of Community of Christ. The music has been provided by Ben Howington. You can find his music at mormonguitar.com.
Everyone, you're here. Okay,
Carla, you have to hold it.
Okay, I can't.